You're listening to a Between the Lines Studios podcast. You can learn more about this show and other Between the Lines shows at BetweenTheLinesStudios.com.
Hey guys, I'm Shane Tyree from Start Studios. I'm here tonight with Tabs and some other cool folks are going to be talking with us about their projects and stuff they're watching and doing on Kickstarter.
I'm Tabs. I do social media marketing for a bunch of different projects. I'm about to launch my second Kickstarter project, and I'm very excited about that. And everyone else is going to introduce themselves. So next is Lucian.
Hey, I'm Lucian. I'm the project manager for Start Studio, and I just love Kickstarters. I think Aaron is next.
Hey, everybody. It's Aaron. I'm one of the admins of the Wayward Backers, and I generally just like things, geeky things.
Sure, I'm Jeremy. I just started a Kickstarter for Rise of the Dead, and it's a zombie novel.
Cool. Steven, you're up.
Hey, I'm Steven Hood. I'm co-founder of Storium, which we just launched a Kickstarter for. We are an online storytelling game for the web.
Awesome. And I introduced myself briefly, but I'm Shane from Start Studios and one of the Wayward members of the Wayward Backer community. So tonight, a couple things we're going to do. We just found out that a buddy of ours, Boyan Radakovich, whose Kickstarter's closing is going to be joining us soon, so we're going to be talking to him about Pirate Den. We mentioned that in the last episode, but there's really nobody better qualified to talk about the game and some of the cool stuff that they're closing in on in the last few hours of that than Bo. So when he hops in, we'll talk to him about that. And in addition to talking to Steven about Storium, there were some cool stories that are actually already, if I'm not mistaken, already taking place out there that you wanted to chat about tonight, right, Tabs?
We also wanted to talk in general about storytelling because that's why we have Jeremy and Steven here. Because Kickstarters are not just games, and there are also a lot of storytelling things going on. So,
cool.
Hi, Boyan.
Yeah. He's waving.
Yeah, for those on the audio podcast, Boyan was waving.
He was waving frenzied, furiously with his hand and greeting.
Shane, do you want to talk about the giveaway
before we get into it? I was just gonna say tonight we're giving away. Tabs is generous enough to be giving away a Call of Cthulhu limited edition bicycle playing card deck. So that's the original greenback from the Call of Cthulhu bicycle project last year. It was year before.
Yeah, last year.
2 years ago, wasn't it?
No, it was like a year and a half ago.
It was many moons hence. but they're I'm partial, but they're pretty cards. So all you got to do to win is to share publicly share the Facebook link from Start Studios webpage. Our Facebook group on your Facebook feed. Just make sure it's public. Or you can tweet the link to the YouTube using the hashtag WBKS podcast. So either share it on Facebook publicly or use the hashtag Twitter or Twitter hashtag WBKS podcast. So at the end of the show or towards the end of the show, we'll randomize all the people who pitched in, all the people who shared, and one lucky schmo will be getting a very rare, cool collectible. So you want to go ahead and start off talking?
I'm back.
It's a boy on.
Hello, everybody.
So, really quick, Bo, since you hopped in here, man, and it's like you're in the pretty exciting time for Pirate Den. How much time you guys got left?
4 hours. Four hours.
Yay!
So, if you're listening to this live, go to Kickstarter.com and search for Pirate Den. It's my new pirate-themed bluffing game. It's super awesome. We're overfunded already. I'm just trying to knock out some of like the top stretch goals right now, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, you guys really blew up here in the last couple of days, man, which is awesome. We were talking about this on the last, talking specifically about the art on the last episode, how much we really dug it, how the kind of like almost like retro Disney vibe. And you guys are closing in on the musical geekery deck.
No, I got it.
What goal are you guys shooting for now? League of Steam?
Yeah, right now I'm looking for the League of Steam. I'm a couple thousand short of the League of Steam steampunk theme deck. And then after that is Illustrated Super Friends deck, which has Pat Rothfuss, Veronica Belmont, Grant Imahara, and Bonnie Burton. And
crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm also, as a super bonus, I'm doing Scott Lynch's character, Captain Zamira Jerkasha, in the deck. So it's super awesome. Like, I'm like really jazzed. I know, all the exclamation marks. Exactly.
for those on the audio, Aaron just typed a whole row of exclamation points.
That's exactly how I feel.
It's pretty cool. Like we were saying, like we were kind of lamenting the fact that it wasn't further up on those goals just the last time we did it, so less than a week ago, and it's really blown up, man. So congrats on a huge finish, and hopefully it's not done yet. You can get to that last goal.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. And I'm pushing it right now. I asked all my promotional captains yesterday to go out and just push hard. And so you can see the response right away, and it's awesome. So I'm really grateful. I mean, the fans have been super supportive, and you know, they're backing, and they're also like upping their backing levels, which is really great. And I can't wait. I can't wait for a few more hours, 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, and the campaign will be over. I am going to a pirate-themed bar here in about an hour to count down the final hours, and hopefully I will be well into my cups by 7 o'clock. So if you want to buy me a shot of rum, just hit me up on Twitter. I'm at TheGamesmith, and I will accept all rum on your behalf, and if you want to contribute to Kickstarter, even better. That way you don't have to listen to the story of me being like totally hungover tomorrow.
That's awesome. Guys, I'm in on this. I backed this for the $85 pledge level, which is a bunch of copies of the base game because I like to share my copies. But just to let you guys know how close he is to hitting this last awesome stretch goal. So if just 19 people picked up the Super Premium Collector's Edition, that would hit the last stretch goal. Or if we could just manage to get another 40-some-odd people to back in the next few hours at the $75 level, he's hit it there, too.
And yeah, it's Super Premium's awesome, man. Super Premium comes with a pirate chest, and it's all, like, laser-etched and awesome. It has all the promotional decks. It has all the player mats autographed. It has a challenge coin. I have one of Pat's drabs from the Name of the Wind, which, let me see, it looks like this. If I've been carrying this stuff with my change for about a year now, so anyone wants to question my fandom, my passion for the books, it's been a part of me. Yeah, see, so you get all that stuff for Super Premium. It's great. And there's a level higher than that, which is personalized Super Premium, and I put you in the deck, and I got this awesome one of a cat. So one of my backers took a photo of their cat and then photoshopped it with like an eye patch and like a hook and everything, and it's like one of my favorite promotional captains. I love it. So if you want it, if you want to be in there, it's great. It's like a good present for friends or family. You know, you want to say like, I love you, put their picture in the game for you, and I know they'll love it.
Do it against their will. Make sure they're in a compromising situation.
That's
interesting conversation.
I will not accept creepy sleeping photos of people that you're like stalking. And like,
I want it to be me, but I want to be wearing a bustier and pantaloons.
Oh my god. Yes, I'll do that if you want Super Premium.
and our view count is one, so
but our creepy total went way up, guys. Like, we are creeping it.
No.
Super creeper. Cool. Okay, well, I'm not gonna hog because Steven's on here. I'm really excited about Storify, so you guys,
Storium.
I'm sorry, my brain. This last couple of days have been crazy town, so I just want to say thank you, and if you're listening live, go to Kickstarter. Pirate Den is my project, and if you're listening to this afterwards, 7 p.m. Pacific time, Thursday, April 10th is the deadline, so thank you.
Thank you, Bowman, and
congratulations
again on really blowing it up there.
Yeah, for sure. I'll hang out for a little bit until I got to go rum it up until it's rum o'clock, and then I'll be gone.
Well, just popped in. So Tro from The Littlest Lovecraft, both the Dunwich Horror and Call of Cthulhu, she's been helping out with Writhing Dark and is a patron of many awesome projects. And Jeff and Rookie, who, in addition to being close to the Storium project, is one of the contributors to the Writhing Dark project and is also our Fool card, I think, from the tarot.
Yes.
That I'd recently had to perform hip surgery on because of the Rider-Waite's failure in anatomy. But welcome, guys.
Oh, Rider-Waite. I've learned more about tarot than I ever wanted to know.
So while we're on the topic of projects that are running, Stephen, can you talk a little bit, like maybe people who aren't familiar with Storium, tell them kind of like what it's about, how they can get involved with the project, and what kind of reward levels are?
Sure. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it. So Storium is, we call it an online storytelling game. And the idea is that it lets you and your friends, using the web, create and tell your own story together. And so it takes ideas and mechanics borrowed from a variety of forms, including tabletop RPGs, card games, collaborative fiction, interactive fiction, improv even, and sort of puts them in a blender and creates what we think is sort of a new sort of way of playing, and maybe even a new medium if we're lucky and if this goes where we hope it will go. And the idea is that everybody's a storyteller. It's sort of a fundamental human trait. It's something we all do. I mean, we've been doing it for 5 minutes already here. It's how we communicate. And that if people can be encouraged to do that more often, it could be a really powerful creative outlet and a lot of fun. So that's sort of the idea behind Storium. And we launched our Kickstarter just over 48 hours ago. We got funded in the first 24 hours, which was really exciting, and we really appreciate. And we're about to hit our first stretch goal probably here in the next few hours. And we actually just announced our next stretch goals just before this this Hangout started. So our next stretch goals are, we have a world from Fran Wild, who's creating sort of a Casablanca in space setting called State Liminal. Chuck Wendig is going to be adapting his short story, The Auction, which is about like a supernatural auction place where anything can be bought and sold. And then Ken Height, the creator of Trail of Cthulhu and Knight's Black Agents, other things like that, is going to take his game Day After Ragnarok and bring that to Storium as well. So we're pretty excited about all those.
That's awesome. Ken Height was one of the contributors for the original Writhing Dark, or original, pardon me, Call of Cthulhu anthology that we did last year. Him and Cody Goodfellow both wrote the short stories for that. So
awesome. Yeah, we're really proud to have them all involved, and Ken is definitely very proud of.
Well, I mean, that's something that's kind of near and dear. Boyan and Aaron just mentioned Chuck Wendig is pretty awesome. Yeah, he is. He's done a lot of gaming supplements. If I'm not mistaken, he's done a lot of stuff for Paizo recently, but hasn't he done work for Wizards as well? Wizards of Coast?
No, actually, I think it's White Wolf. He was involved in Hunter and a bunch of other games.
Yeah, I could have sworn he had done Paizo stuff, but I know I've seen his name pop up a lot when we were doing searches for authors when we were looking for people to contribute for Writhing Dark. That's pretty cool. The next project that I'm going to be launching is Tale, and that's kind of like the core of what Tale's about. So Storium kind of offers, in addition to the framework for sharing these stories and kind of like mashing them together, does it kind of offer the community tools as well so that people can meet new people and take part in the new games outside of their normal social circles?
That's sort of the idea. I grew up playing tabletop games, and then when I went off to school, I didn't have friends anymore who played them. My network sort of fell apart, and I stopped playing them, and that's one of the things I really missed. Part of the problem is people don't always have that social network, or maybe they don't have people whose schedules are compatible in a way they can get together and play. So this is one of the things the internet can give us, right, is that we can play across both space and time. So Storium is actually time-shifted, so it's asynchronous. You play when you have time, and it coordinates the play. But then there's also social aspects to it. So you can find games that are open, that are looking for players. You can apply to join by submitting a character for that story. Or you can create your own game and send emails out to invite your friends. And I think we see that down the road there'll be a lot more social stuff like that. There'll be sort of a community that grows up around the games that are being played and the stories that are being told.
That's really the commodity, like, right, when it comes to role-playing games. Like, that was when I started doing this sort of stuff for a living, you know, illustrating these games, board games, RPGs, you come to really quickly to the realization, especially when you move away like you described, that it wasn't really as important what was on the table as it was the people who were around it. So facilitating that kind of community where you can actually find people and have the meaningful interactions and maybe some of the silly ones too, that's really the commodity when it comes to any kind of role-playing experience. So that's amazing that you guys are putting forethought into the community aspect of it first and letting the rest of it build organically around that.
I was going to say, it's not going to, Storium isn't a replacement for RPGs at all. I mean, it's a different sort of medium and a different sort of game. And we hope this is one of the things that it can make easier is the actual coordination of the play and finding people to play with.
Yeah, I've been beta testing it. A friend of mine was really big on a forum that did, you know, storytelling RPGs, and he actually met his wife through that forum. But the forum fell apart, and so he's like, "Oh, Storium, you should try it out." And I was like, "I don't know, you know." But then we started playing. It was so easy to use, and it was cool because it brought in a bunch of different people. It brought in all the people who were like, "I don't know how to write. I don't know how to make a character." And it's like, "Well, here's some ideas of characters you should make." You know, it was very simple and really fun. So I'm very excited about Storium.
Thanks very much.
What were you going to say, Boyan?
I'm sorry?
Oh, Boyan popped a comment in there, but he was muted.
Oh, it's system agnostic, which is really nice. I always say that in role-playing games, the most important resource, or what the number one thing that makes it successful is the players, then the storyteller, the main person driving the story, and then third is the setting, the world itself. The system is way distant fourth, and so Storium allows you to have unite players, find awesome storytellers, and create and share your wonderful world. So it's like it empowers the top three things, and if you want to then translate that to whatever system, great, it's on you. And that's awesome. That's a really great tool for the RPG community.
Yeah, Storium actually has its own mechanics. So it's not totally systemless. It has mechanics that are sort of inspired by a variety of different games, like story games like Fiasco, and other techniques, and it uses virtual cards to help drive the action. So it's light. So cool. If you were to compare it to like a traditional RPG, it's definitely the mechanics are much lighter in terms of their impact on you, how you perceive them, how much of that surface area you see as you play. It's designed to sort of stay out of the way as much as possible. But there are actually mechanics in there, and we did that because we're trying to encourage specifically storytelling and helping people share the spotlight, have their success, their characters both succeed and fail, like what happens in a good story, and so forth.
I mean, I can see where what Bo was saying, though. It's kind of like the best types of systems, as you said, are the systems that kind of get out of the way. Everything else is, you know, is kind of front-loaded. When you sit at the table, you have the setting, you have your ideas for the characters. The only real variable there is how rolling the dice or interacting with the rules is going to affect what's going on. And if you have a group of people who are kind of on the same page and everybody is involved and invested in the story, you know, really the rules just need to get out of the way and let that happen, because that's where the fun is. That's where the creative stuff happens, and that's where the memorable things take place.
Yeah, I think Storium has a nice balance of enough rules to keep the story going and to not, you know, we're not just powerful character gods that can do everything, that sometimes things don't work, but not enough rules where it's intimidating. And Jeff, you set up a story. You want to talk a little bit about that?
So while we're waiting for Jeff to get squared away, now, are the campaigns, when it comes to people dropping in and out of campaigns, are the campaigns live or are they like locked once the number of players has been reached, or is that kind of a thing that can be changed on the fly?
So in every game, you can have people come and go. You can invite people to join the game and create a character and join the story once it's underway. And you know, sometimes people drop out. Either the character leaves the story in the various ways that can happen, or the player can't be engaged anymore for whatever reason. It's pretty fluid.
That's awesome. It makes it a lot more convenient when you can kind of freeform it on the fly, because there's some other online tools out there, namely like something like Roll20, where the campaign's kind of locked and it's kind of a frustrating sequence to go through and remove players and invite new players in. Jeff, is your audio back?
Can you hear me now?
Sure can.
All right, great. Yeah, I was hardwired to be silent, which is what they want me to do here at work. But yeah, so I do have a game. I've been playing it for a few months now, and it's very cool. It does help when you're on the same page. So like Steven said, if you're strictly into role playing games, you have a good background. But if you're just looking to hack and slash, that's not what it's about. It's really about telling the story together, and the mechanics of the game really help you, know when it's better to fail, to build that drama and continue to build it up, work together, and then, you know, kind of have that heroic ending or tragic ending. Actually, the game I have right now is based in the world of The Writhing Dark, and one of the characters that I built over there, and the investigators are going to see if they can save him.
Looks like you froze. Did he freeze for anybody else, or is it just me?
Yes, he froze.
We lost him.
So do you want to talk a little bit, Stephen, about the rewards that people can get with the Storium?
Sure, yeah. So we have, at the $10 level, which is our first backer level, you get actually instant access to our beta test. So we've been working on Storium for over a year now. Yeah, like 14 months, actually. It's gone by pretty quickly. But we have a beta test that's live. We've been testing the product for a while with a lot of different people. And so anyone who backs us to the $10 level can get in right now, like instantly, to try the beta test out for themselves. They can start a game. They can invite anyone they want, even if they're not a backer. And those people can come in and play with them. And so we're already getting a lot of people signing up at that level and a lot of people giving us great feedback, which is hugely appreciated. The next level up from that is what we call member. And the idea is that when Storium launches to the public, which is the goal of the Kickstarter, it's to fund the work we need to do to turn Storium into a public product. When that happens, Storium will be, there'll be a free version, and then there'll be an annual membership fee to use the product without any sort of limitations or restrictions. And we're doing that because we want to remain like a sustainable, independent business without plastering the thing with ads or other tacky things. So we have a very modest annual fee. And so the idea is that if you back us at the member level, which is $20, you get a year of Storium membership at a discount over what we expect it will cost in the future. And so a lot of people are backing at that level, which has been awesome, because it kind of gives this idea of what our audience might be like in the future. The next one up from that is called The Deal, which is a name chosen specifically because it's going to be a pretty awesome deal, we hope. And what that gets you is access to all of the worlds that we're funding through the Kickstarter. So the worlds are a concept we have in Storium, which are these sort of reusable play sets that give you all the narrative tools you need to play in a given setting or style or genre. So out of the box, the beta has worlds for cyberpunk and classic fantasy and medical dramas and Lovecraftian horror and so forth. But we have engaged a bunch of really, really great authors, game designers, and other storytellers to create worlds as part of the Kickstarter. So we've got everything in there from like super heroic Blade Runner sort of things to 1920s Harlem Renaissance to Downton Abbey style stories. So we've got a really interesting, diverse group of both creators and worlds that we're funding. And the more that we fund through stretch goals, the more worlds we bring in and the more that you will get for your money at that backer level. So we're really excited about that one, and a lot of people are piling onto that one, which is really exciting to see. We've got over 40 creators lined up, so over 40 worlds to reveal through stretch goals. So we're really looking forward to doing that.
And will the material, like the fiction for these worlds, be available in like a kind of like a, I mean, will there be open source ones as well that other people can create and upload for the community to interact with? And is that sort of part of like the interface itself, or is that something that you have to go to a marketplace to download?
Well, part of the goal for Storium is, again, once we launch it to the public, that would be like towards the end of the year. Part of what we want to do is we want to create like a library or a marketplace around these worlds. And what will happen is anybody can come in and create a world and share it with the Storium community. And if they want, they could charge for it. Kind of like in an app store model. It'd be very similar to that. We're talking like app prices. And the idea is that we will give the majority of those proceeds directly to the creator of the world. What we're hoping is this is a way for people to support creators and authors and artists that they love by supporting their work directly.
That's actually really cool, because it's kind of like the administrative costs of creating and curating that content. Jeff, you've had the opportunity to play with us in our Numenera game, and you've also played Dungeons & Dragons with us quite a bit.
Sure.
Like, when you compare the two experiences to something like Storium, to something like more traditional pen and paper role-playing games, like, what do you think the comparison is, and how do they compare?
Well, it puts the players and the narrators on more equal footing. And you know, I mean, you're our DM, our GM in Numenera and D&D, and I think you do allow us that, you know, that some of the capabilities there where we're adding our own background. Storium allows you to build a story collaboratively, and so you're providing that as much of the backstory as the narrator could be, and so it's very much I keep on using the word collaborative, but that's what it is. You know, I mean, there I can see where you may get a narrator who wants to be a little bit more heavy-handed. That might work in some settings, but I think that the framework, the strengths and the weaknesses and the character templates that you have available to you, they provide this nice open framework where you can really there's really no limit to the stories that you can tell. One of the players in my current game, which we're starting tonight, was asking, well, how do we know when it ends? And, you know, we're just getting started. We really don't know where it's going to end or what avenues it's going to take us down. I probably liken it more to what we did with that alternate reality game that we did, Shane, for The Writhing Dark, over like an RPG where there's a little bit more, you do something, the DM mediates and, you know, interprets the rules. Everybody is making up the rules as they're going along. And there's also a nice comment section, which you can hide from the people who are just reading the story so that you can, you know, kind of mediate these things within your own group and say, you know what, I don't know if that particular part of the story really flows. Can you reassess what you were thinking about there and go with this?
Very, very cool. So, yep. So Stephen, how much longer does Storium have up? Is it running through, when did you say that the finished out date is?
We've got like 28 days left. The actual last day is Thursday, May 8th, in the evening, Pacific time. So we got some time to go.
Awesome. So some time to hit some stretch goals and to build some really cool stuff. So other than the Kickstarter project, how can people get in touch with you or find out more about Storium?
Well, you can go to storium.com, which is our homepage. There's links to our blog there and to our Twitter account. We are just at Storium on Twitter. The campaign, we're going to be doing lots of updates to. Right now, we're just talking about stretch goals, but we're going to be sharing both in the campaign and on our blog more information about the team, about the game experience, and some of our thinking around storytelling as the campaign goes on. I'll also point out that in the campaign, there is a video embedded, which is a 3-minute walkthrough of the current beta test. And so it gives you a sense of what it actually looks like. All these things I'm talking about, narrators, players, cards, characters, scenes, you can actually see it all in action, which I think it helps a lot because it's a little hard to imagine, I think, for a lot of people.
Cool. So Tabs, what was your... Had you been creating or running a story on this or taking part in a game?
I've been playing in a game that my friend is running that's like a post-Buffy apocalyptic story. So I'm a wizard. It's fun. It's been a really cool way to interact, like I said, with people. And I really like the, I can do it anytime. Like I stopped off at a Starbucks and wrote my little update and ran off, you know. I didn't have to wait for everybody to be on at the same time. And and I do like the card system because I was like, I don't know what character I'm going to create. And then when you first sign up for a story, it goes, here's different archetypes, you know, that the narrator has put in. And he's like, oh, that sounds really cool. And I suddenly have an idea of where to start with my character, flesh her out, put a picture, you know. It was really nice rather than sitting there for 40 minutes going, I don't know, what am I? I'm a person. That's like all I got for you.
Part of what we're trying to do there is encourage you to discover your character through play, through the storytelling, right? And that in a way it's more interesting to understand less about your character in the start, just to have those hooks, right? And then to develop, you know, fill in the blanks through play, because it ends up, we find so far in our testing, we find that it tends to be very engaging for people, because then they can fill in the blank in the character in a way that really helps and complements the story. And part of how we do that is we have these wild cards. So in addition to all these other cards you have that you play to describe your action in the story, some of them are wild, so you can fill them out in the moment. And you can say, like, yeah, Luke knows how to force choke, sure. You know, that's cool. That's something he might know. You just decide that you can do that, and if everyone agrees, then it's cool. And it might never come up in the story again, or you might decide, actually, that's an important part of the character now. I'm going to keep that card. I'm going to keep using it.
That's cool. I mean, that's, in addition to the collaborative freedom working with other people, it's neat to give you that flexibility and still have some kind of system there that you can weigh against it. There's some people online, like Tabs pointed out earlier, that Kenneth says that one of the things he likes most about it is the schedule is pretty crazy. It lets him do things his own time. That kind of mirrors what you were just saying, Tabs. And then Alvaro says if there's ever a Storium campaign for other folks on the Wayward, that he will sign right up. So I don't know, maybe Aaron, that might be something we could look at doing for the group, is putting together a Storium campaign and inviting people in. I'm going to be a giant cyborg purple rubber duck. Lifelong dream.
Your dream can be achieved now.
Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit. Any color rubber duck. It sounds awesome. And if we could get, I know there's be tons of people in the Wayward group and elsewhere that'd be really into it. So thank you very much for going over it, man. I mean, you guys are already, you're killing it. So it's like onward and upward. And have you thought, just the last thing, about maybe talking to other established settings? There's lots of really awesome established fiction for role-playing games out there. One of my favorites right now is, like I was saying, we play Numenera, which for my money is probably the most original setting, at least in the last 15, 20 years that I've had the privilege to play in. But have you thought about maybe approaching other content creators for existing settings that are out there?
We have indeed, yeah. There may be some things coming later in the campaign related to that. Our initial focus is on original works, but we absolutely see opportunities and interest for adapting existing works, whether those be from games or from novels or other forms.
I like the cut of your jib. It sounds pretty cool, man.
Thank you.
So, Tabs, anything else you wanted to finish up with, or?
Well, we got Jeremy in here. We could talk to him about his Rise of the Dead zombie novel.
Hold on, I'm gonna bow, guys. So it's Rome o'clock where I'm at. So I'm gonna go.
Have fun, boy.
Yeah. So if.
Congrats.
Thank you. If you're listening live and you're in LA and you want to come to Redwood, which is downtown, it's right off of the Red Line on the Civic Center stop. You can stagger home onto the Metro if you need to. I'll be there hanging out. So it was awesome hanging out with you guys. I really wish I knew more about Storium before you guys launched right at the end of my campaign. So once I actually sleep for a few days and celebrate, I'm going to jump on and I'm going to be way more active, because you have a lot of my friends already working with you. So I'm super jazzed.
But thanks so much. Appreciate
sure.
it. Good luck.
Yeah,
congrats, I mean.
Good luck, guys. And hopefully I'll see you on my next project.
Take care, Will.
Bye.
Yeah, it's Jeremy, why don't you talk about your Kickstarter? Because it's a novel and another way of doing storytelling, and you're part of the Wayward backers, so it'd be cool to hear what your project is all about.
Yeah, thanks. Well, mine's just a little Kickstarter. It's not really much of a big project, but I wanted to start a Kickstarter for my book because traditional publishing is just, it's a different world today than it was like 5 years ago, and instead of sending out my novel for, the next year and waiting around, I wanted to get people's opinion on it now and find people that, would be part of an audience and were into the story already. So that was the whole idea behind, starting the Kickstarter. And I wasn't quite sure, I really didn't know where to sort of market the idea. I wasn't. Like most of you guys know, I wasn't even really looking to plug it on there because I didn't feel like it was exactly, you know, right up this group's alley or anything. But I was just thrilled to see the the response that you guys had, and it was pretty awesome. So the story is it's definitely a zombie book, but what I'm going for is a very character-driven zombie book that's not going to be like anything else that you've read out there. There's very few stories where in outside of traditional literary fiction, where the characters still maintain the main stage, and all of the action is developed through them. So that's really what my goal was to write a book where it's not plot driven by any means. The zombies are sort of like this secondary thing back there. Really, what you're looking at is how the characters interact, how they develop, and what they learn from the whole experience that maybe they didn't learn before. So that's pretty much where it's at. We've hit our goal, so everything above this is just kind of gravy. I'm really looking forward to trying to reach a stretch goal, which will allow me to give some of our backers some hardcover copies that are going to be limited edition. So we got eight That's days cool. left, and more than anything, that would be my ideal hope for what was to come.
So why zombies? Why are you digging zombies right now?
I've always, in 15 years, I think I've been watching zombies long before they ever made The Walking Dead, which I wasn't exactly sold on immediately. It took me watching it to understand, what people saw in it. I didn't really like the comic books. But, yeah, it's always just been my thing. And, I felt like if I was going to write a book, it was originally going to be a zombie book. And I didn't really realize that it would also at the same time be my literary book that I've been working on until I'd gotten towards completing it.
Yeah. And this is your first Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, this is my first. And I'm really, I'm kind of addicted to Kickstarter now. I've backed like more than half a dozen projects in the last 3 weeks. I really just am hoping that this is going to be a way to sort of kickstart not just one book, but allow me to get off as a writer on a note that most first-time novelists don't get to do when they self-publish, which is to build some audience for their novel and to show the publishers that are out there that, look, I can do this on my own, and there's people that are out there that are interested in this, and then that way, have a little leverage in negotiating and publish.
Yeah, I like that you had the first chapter linked on the front of your Kickstarter. So, folks, if you want to check it out and read the first chapter, see if you like it, you can then decide to back it. That was really smart.
Yeah, and the second chapter is going to be up for the backers of the book this weekend. We're just doing our last edits on that, and so really excited to be showing them that. And hopefully within the next week, the third and fourth segments might be up too.
If you don't mind me, when you first started thinking about writing the book, what element of the, because zombies, there's lots of different takes that people have done on them. Like everything from World War Z, where it's this kind of epic, you're kind of focusing on the pandemic, to really gritty kind of interpersonal things like The Walking Dead. So what element was it that you kind of really focused on when you started putting the story together? Was it like the horror element, or was it more of the kind of the social, the interactions between these guys?
I would say that the inspirations that I had mostly for the book were definitely more along the lines of like The Walking Dead. But in that being said, it's a completely different story. My writing has always been largely influenced by a lot of literary writers like Salinger, and so I was really going for that kind of perspective where you're reaching a character who is sort of getting down a little bit deeper than you're comfortable with at points, and it's bringing up a lot more honesty than you're going to generally find in a lot of books. And that's really where, I mean, my storytelling always tries to go is, you know, the plot is one thing, but if I can create some characters that are genuine and honest, then that's me makes the story more compelling. It's always been that way with books I read, and that's, you know, how I feel about the books that I write as well.
That's cool. I mean, I've read a couple of these, a couple of zombie books and a few short stories. There was an anthology that was published a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, called Wastelands, which, although it was about mostly post-apocalyptic fiction, there was a couple stories in there about zombies. And then I've read World War Z and the Zombie Survival Guide. And, you know, when they're not kind of, when they're taken kind of tongue-in-cheek, they almost kind of become a self-parody. But that said, there's been some stories like in that Wastelands anthology where, you know, if you focus on the horror element, the isolation element, it can kind of, it's, you know, it's kind of like a cool analogy for the end of the world or for like a post-apocalyptic setting. And I don't know, it's, I think those are the ones of the stories I've read. Those are the ones that I always gravitated towards. So it sounds kind of neat that you're focusing on the character interaction. I think that's what makes stuff like Dead World and Walking Dead strong, is that they make people that the readers kind of identify with or the viewers identify with.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's one of the things that I mean, I've read probably 200 zombie novels, and you know, out of most of them, the one thing I was wishing for were more memorable characters, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to bring readers that. A couple of books that you might be interested in, I just read a great one by Rachel Aukus called 100 Days in Deadland, and it's actually a journey through using a parable of Dante's Inferno to tell the story of the zombie apocalypse. So there's great books out there, and hopefully, you know, mine will make its way into that conversation too.
Real quick, for the folks just watching who just popped in on YouTube, there's a good deal of folks watching now. If you want a chance at the limited edition green Call of Cthulhu playing card deck, be sure to share the YouTube link either publicly on Facebook from the Start Studios Facebook page, or tweet it using the hashtag WBKSPodcast, and we'll be pulling a random lucky winner from that towards the end of the show. So one more thing about the book. Now, you said this is kind of like, this is with an eye towards making, you know, going again and trying this as a viable outlet for self-publishing. Like, do you see continuing this particular story and, like, exploring more about these particular characters, or are there some other story ideas that you kind of have on the back burner that you're looking at?
Well, I have the next two novels planned that are specifically, you know, post-apocalyptic zombie novels, and those are going to be in the same realm as this book. There's going to be some interlocking characters, but they're not exactly a continuation of this story. So, you know, one of the things that was really cool is my Kickstarter offers a lot of backer rewards for people to become characters in the next novel, and you know that allows them to be part of the story, and allows me the creativity to play with the new characters that I'm coming up with as the Kickstarter goes along.
You know, just throwing out there a suggestion, there's this really cool thing I just heard about called Storium that might be pretty neat for you to explore the setting a little bit more with some friends if you're interested.
Yeah, that sounded really good.
Cool, man. I'm looking forward to see what you come up with, and you know, I haven't got a chance to read the first chapter yet because I only just found out about it, but I'm definitely going to be following along with it. Other than the Kickstarter, is there any other place people can follow along with your stuff or keep track of what you're up to?
Yeah, you can go to www.jeremydyson.com. That's my author website, and there's you know, blogs about what I'm reading right now, and then just a general blog, and also some updates about the story and how it's coming along too.
And is the chapter or the chapters, will they be available up on your site as well, or is it just?
Yeah, it's up there right now. The first chapter of the novel's is there, so you can check that out.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for breaking it down. Oh, sorry.
Shane, do you want to talk a little bit about Tale before we go?
I also have a Kickstarter I'd like to talk about.
So, Tail is going to be my next Kickstarter project. It's actually part of what I'm working on right now. So, it was kind of eerie when Steven started talking about Storium, because it kind of harkened me, kind of really reminded me right away of what I'm doing. When you think about what a story is, it's so commonplace. We tell and read stories all the time, and we don't even know we're doing it. It's integral to the way that we as people kind of exchange information. So, Tale is actually about stories that have legs, stories that are kind of alive, and the ones that beg to be told. They're kind of stories on the way to becoming myth. And the differences that we think of when we think of the difference between a story and a tale is kind of like in the connotation of the words we use to talk about them, fairy tales, tall tales. There's lots of different tales, but they all have that mythic quality. So Tale, the project that I'm launching, is kind of like my home, like me paying homage to these stories that inspired me, and the kind of the stories that we all tell, the mythic core of the verbal traditions that kind of make us who we are. So it's going to be a several part project. There's going to be, in addition to some other cool swag people expect from projects that I've run, things like coins and dice and other collectibles, there'll be an anthology similar to what we did with The Writhing Dark, which is completely composed of backer submissions, stories, short stories and fiction that kind of blend that mythic vibe that takes the familiar kind of moral core that we see in a lot of these different stories. And in some cases, they don't have one, and kind of bring it together with their own spin, their own twist on the fiction to make something unique. And hopefully we'll bring together, myself, some other cool guest artists to give it the best illustration and design that we can. And then there'll be a set of playing cards offered, a light and a dark set that's focusing kind of like on the different kinds of fairy tales. Some of them have happy endings, some of them don't. Designed by myself and Chris Avdienko of the Dead on Paper studio. And we'll be, we'll have some cards designed ahead of time, and some of the design choices, art choices, will already be taken care of. But what we plan on doing is opening the floor to the Kickstarter backers so that we can make something a lot more inclusive and democratic. So we want to aim to include myths and stories from all over, instead of just things we would think of from like Western Europe and Eastern Europe and fairy tales or ghost stories that are familiar. We want to incorporate things from all over the place. So we're going to be launching that in June, hopefully, and it's something I'm kind of nervous about, and it's something I'm really looking forward to. So I'm anxious to get started on it, but at the same time, it's kind of nerve-wracking because it's near and dear. But yeah, that's what it is. So what was it that you wanted to move on to, Tabs?
What everybody wants to talk about as far as Kickstarters that they're backing or interested in. I know we got quite a few from the Wayward Backer community. So if we want to go through and just say something that we're backing. I know Lucian can start off because he's got something.
Yeah, I just backed a graphic novel called Orbital Defense. Actually, I think it just might be a comic book. It's not quite long enough. But basically this guy, Andy Fisher, came up with this idea that he was going to do 60-minute sketches every day. So he just started sketching and sketched for 60 minutes, and then he was done. And his only plan was that there'd be continuity between the sketches. So now he's taking those sketches and turning it into a comic book. And it's got some really neat art and some really nice prints. I'm looking at the prints right now. They're so nice. But yeah, it's a really cool Kickstarter that's going on right now. It's called Orbital Defense Force Issue 0. So you should check it out.
Tro, did you pick up any projects since last time we talked? Is your addiction kicked in, or are you still managing to hold it at bay?
I haven't picked up anything new, I think. Let me check, though. I actually picked up the playing cards for Conquerors, the one with the Vikings on it.
Oh, that one looks cool.
Yeah. I'm waffling on it a little bit there's parts of it I really like and some parts that aren't quite doing it for me, but yeah. Maybe
we can convince them to actually offer waffles, because that would be a
I would totally be sold on waffles.
Yeah, I'm down with the waffle.
The waffle, and the waffle add-on.
Yeah, and then I'm still waiting on that Whispers Lovecraft short film thing, which I thought was going to launch 2 days ago, but it didn't.
Aww.
So I will ask them when I see them tomorrow at the HP Lovecraft Film Festival.
Cool. Maybe we can get them on next time, talk about it, or have some more info about it when it launches.
Yeah, I will. I'll poke them and see if they want to do that.
What about you, Tabs? Anything new?
I am not doing Kickstarters right now. I keep refusing to go on Kickstarter because I don't have the money. But Katie did post the Kit Rex, the 3D blaster wrapper you can build yourself. That was really fun. I was like, oh, if only I had money.
That's the problem with the addiction. You can't find this stuff anywhere else, and you get that weird kind of, like, urgency that you have to back, and then very shortly you realize that you now have to eat cat food for a month.
Right.
It's not healthy. I am waiting to... I'm debating, waffling back and forth on a couple of Kickstarters right now, but I'm managing to keep myself from doing it. Mostly because I have the advantage of having my wife, who is very good at motivating me not to waste money.
Mm.
So not everybody has that, but I recommend that if you don't have one, you should look into getting one.
Robin, I just wanted to go through the ones that people posted. Robin posted the Snarf Quest 30th anniversary graphic novel, which is fantastic if you know Snarf Quest. I'm excited. And Brian posted the Edgar Allan Poe illustrated Ravings of Love and Death anthology. So those look cool. Kenneth posted the Fantasy Scroll magazine, which, you know, there's not as many magazines anymore about sci-fi, fantasy, horror.
It's really not. I mean, there's some, like, blog-type stuff, but a lot of them are so kind of disparate, it's hard to find.
Well, some of them are not super well-written either, so... When you find something good, well written, it's kind of amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
I'd also like to point out
Go for it.
I just put a link in. Hopefully that shows up okay. There's a Kickstarter called Board Games Now Blind Accessible. I don't know if you guys have talked about that on here before, but it's very cool. Yeah, so this group is making tools like Braille embossed sleeves for cards, for card games and other table games. Sorry, I just realized I'm invisible here. Hi. They're creating these tools to take your existing tabletop games and make them accessible to those who are visually impaired.
That's awesome.
Seems like an awesome idea. They're doing great on their Kickstarter, but they still have a couple weeks to go. So I wanted to mention them.
That is pretty sweet. I mean, that's something you kind of take for granted. But the fact that adapting something like that, it can really be kind of tricky. You got a lot of, depending on what you're adapting, there's lots of components. That's pretty cool that they're taking that on.
Yeah, it's a really worthwhile project, I think, to bring games to more people. So
is that the one that you're watching or backing right now, Stephen, or is there any other ones you want to?
I am sure backing that one. Look at my page. I'm backing a bunch right now. Happy to say.
I like when creators back projects too.
I'm sort of a Kickstarter addict, so I'm into my 80s now. I don't know if that's good or bad, or if that's a high or low or whatever, but I've been backing for a while, and it's very, very enjoyable. I live in the Bay Area, and my friendly local gaming store is Endgame in Oakland, which is a wonderful place, if any of you have ever heard of it or been there. They're running a Kickstarter that still has about 30 days left. They are funding a cafe. So they've actually leased space next door to the game store, and they're going to renovate it and turn it into a cafe. And they're going to have, like, live performances. They're going to have, you know, they're going to be open late with food and coffee. It's in a really cool neighborhood and kind of a part of old Oakland. So it's a really cool campaign. I'll pop the link into the chat here in just a second. But you can search for Endgame Cafe. Endgame is one word. They're awesome folks.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get links to all the ones we're talking about up in the show notes here, and so everybody can take a look at them.
Yeah, I have about 300 tabs open now for that.
Now, what about you, Jeremy? Are there any other podcasts, or podcasts rather, but Kickstarters or anything else that you're backing right now that caught your eye?
Sorry there. Okay, I just put a link in there for it, and it's called Aghast, and it's a sci-fi horror literary collection from the UK, and it features the artwork of the creator. And yeah, it's a great collection of writers, and they're pretty close to their goal, so hopefully they got about 18 days to go, and they'll get there very soon.
Awesome. That sounds cool. And when is it? You said 18 days, so it closes on mathematics. It'll be the Monday of the 28th?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. So I have been adding up. We had quite a few people share and tweet. Let me double check one more peek on Twitter, make sure we didn't miss anybody. And we will go ahead and give away the deck.
Thanks, everybody, for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Just let you guys know how we've been, or I've been doing this, is it just pop all the names of the people who shared or tweeted here into random.org, and when we randomize the list, the guy at the top, or gal at the top, wins the goods. So, here we go. And, I don't think it randomized them, it was the same list. Here we go. Mike Harmon.
Woo!
Awesome!
You win the greenback limited edition Call of Cthulhu playing card deck that Tab so generously offered up. So thanks for sharing, and thanks for watching, and thanks for giving up your goodies, Tabs.
Welcome.
So for the guys and gals at Start Studio and the folks at Wayward Backers, thanks again for watching. Steven, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Moran, man, it was awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Jeremy, thanks for chatting with us about your zombie novel, man. We're looking forward to seeing the rest of it when it comes up.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It was great to hear.
And Tabs, thanks for putting this thing together. And again, thanks to Bo, who's not quite, I don't want to say posthumous because he's just drunk.
Hopefully he's not drunk yet. I'm going there after this.
Cool. Well, thanks again, guys, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye. Thanks. Spend more money. Much.
Oh, the bomb. I'm an island drunk or sober.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.